Let's talk about Riverside.fm, the leading podcast and video creation platform that's changing the game on how creators record content. Riverside.fm allows you to record studio quality audio and up to 4K video on their platform. Now you can interview a guest 1,000 miles away and it'll sound like you're sitting in the same room. It's as easy to use as Zoom, but gives much higher quality audio and video recordings. Did we mention that they have a mobile app? This allows guests to connect directly from their phone and record content from anywhere. After your content is finished, you can easily grab clips to share them across your social media channels. So if you're looking for a hero platform for all your recording needs, from podcasts to webinars to other video content, you should be using Riverside FM. Sign up today so you can focus on your content and leave the quality to Riverside FM. Use promo code SHIPIT and receive a 30% discount on your first 3 months of your subscription. That's promo code SHIPIT to receive a 30% discount on the first 3 months of your subscription. Back to the show. Hey, here's future post-editing Josh. Basically, in the intro that Alex and I recorded, we did not talk about the Kemba Walker news because we recorded it the day before the Kemba Walker news. Wait till the interview with BBD from John Boy Media, producer BBD, Big Baby David. In that interview, we talk about the Kemba Walker news. So I just wanted to let you know now, I'm extremely excited. The Knicks have their point guard. I'm not going to say it's Kemba Walker from a few years ago where he's, you know, prime Kemba Walker, but I can say he's at the end of his prime. I'm very excited that he's come to the New York Knicks. How about I'll say that? So excited about Kemba Walker. Just know that we talk about everything but Kemba Walker in the intro. Talk a lot about it, though, in the interview with BBD. So stick around for that. But yeah, post-editing Josh, enjoy the episode. Welcome to episode number 9 of the City That Never Sleeps podcast. I'm Josh and I'm joined by my co-host Alex. And you can tell by the title, our first guest on this podcast in episode number 9, producer BBD of John Boy Media. He's also involved in the Talking Knicks podcast. So we thought, what a perfect guest to have on to recap this Knicks. And he agreed that he would talk some Nets as well, Alex. So congratulations. You get to have some part in this interview. I hope you're happy about that.
I'm excited. I'm a little bit upset that there's going to be so much Knicks talk going along, but you know, I guess I'll deal with it, you know.
No, I think it'll be exciting because, you know, he's like a neutral when it comes to the Nets at least. So I don't think he hates them in the way I do. I mean, we'll have to see and find out. But what is pretty cool is that he told me that it is his first basketball podcast that he's ever done. He's done a lot of baseball, obviously. He produces the Talking Yanks and is involved with John Boy and Jake with that in John Boy Media, but he's never done a hoops podcast. So, I mean, it's pretty cool that we get to be the ones to show him the ways here.
Yeah, definitely.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, it's been a long day for me today, but it's good to be able to talk some basketball, talk some Nets, talk some Knicks, I guess, and talk about the NBA, talk about the NBA draft, and also free agency. The Nets have made a lot of moves in free agency so far, with a couple new signings. Obviously, the Knicks made a couple signings as well, so a lot went on. The draft kind of didn't pan out exactly how either of us thought for either of our teams, but it's definitely going to be interesting to recap it, because we each got quite a few players that are going to be coming in as rookies here to the Nets and Knicks, and hopefully can make an impact for both of the teams.
Yeah, yeah. I would say that the draft did not work out the way I wanted to. I had to stay up way later than I was expecting and wanted. Just kept on trading and trading and trading, and we'll get into all of it. The part of this intro will be breaking down all the stuff that happened, and then, you know, in the interview, talking about it more, you know, explaining more. Right now, we're kind of just giving the basic stuff, I would say, right?
Yeah, I would totally agree.
But first, I guess we should mention this, right? Ship It
yes.
Studios. Sorry, Alex, I cut you off. Yes, we should mention this. Ship It Studios, we are partnering with them. Ship It Studios is a podcasting network. You can go to shipitstudios.com for more info on this podcast, and our other two podcasts are already on there as well, The Giant Take and Talking Blues. If you follow me on Twitter, for right now, we'll have to see in the future. We might make a See That Never Sleeps Twitter, but for right now, follow me at joshola29 for all of your City That Never Sleeps episode info and City That Never Sleeps podcast info. I tweeted out there that we were officially joining Ship It Studio, so I was really excited about that. It's super cool that we're able to spend this time with them, and you can go on their website and see every time we release a new episode. And Alex, do you have anything else to add to that besides that we're very excited to work with them and look forward to probably some collaboration?
Yeah, that was actually the only thing I was going to mention. Yeah, we'll definitely do some collaborations with the other podcasts they have on there. Variety of different things. Recommend you go check them out because they got a lot of cool stuff on there as well. And we'll definitely be doing some different stuff, collaborating with other podcasts as well. And but yeah, that was pretty much all I was going to say.
And I just realized, Alex, I don't know if you pre-planned this. What do you want to do about the trivia section? Should we involve BBD in this? I feel like it might be the better thing to do. I just thought about this.
I feel like we should involve him. So yeah, we'll involve him in the trivia instead of just us.
Yeah, so stay tuned to the trivia for Knicks and Nets stuff at the end of the interview. Obviously, we like to do it at the end of the podcast. Interview is the end of the podcast, technically, but not the end of the interview. Stay tuned for the trivia section there. But let's start with the Knicks because, as I mentioned multiple times on this podcast, they are the more important team in New York. What was that little sigh, Alex?
I said, oh, sure.
No, they are. Basically, they had the 19-21 pick. I was so excited. And then they had 30, which is, or I think it was 32. Yeah, no, they had 30. 34.
34, I believe.
No. They had 32 and 34, which they acquired from the Thunder in the trade, which you're already going to. But they had 19-21 and then 30, which I was like, oh, that's really, you know, in the first round. But, yeah, so, oh, no, 32. It was 32. Sorry. 19, 21, and 32, because there's 30 NBA teams, I believe. And yes. So I was like, yeah, that's almost in the first round. So we got that, and then 58, whatever. Knicks made trades, and it was all gone in the midst of a few minutes. You know, of course, spoiled by Shams and by Woj, which is unbelievable that I guess, you know, it's obviously a big thing. We knew who was going to be picked first, but for Woj to announce the first pick 5 hours in advance of the draft, it really ruins the experience. It does. I'm just scrolling on my Twitter feed the whole time and refreshing, waiting for Woj or Shams to whoever first reports the next draft pick. I shouldn't even be watching the thing. It just really throws it off. And it's funny that Woj works for ESPN, who televises the NBA draft, and he's, you know, working for the company that's trying to tell us, hey, go watch this draft, while he's spoiling the draft. You know what I mean? It's kind of ironic, to be honest. But let me run through the Knicks stuff real quick. So they traded the 19th pick to the Charlotte Hornets for a future first-round pick, a source tells ESPN. That was, you know, Woj's tweet. So we're like, okay, fine. We got 21. Well, we don't, because Clippers will send the Knicks 25 pick to New York and a future second, and they are targeting Keon Johnson at 21, who is who they selected. So 19-21 gone. So the Knicks at 25 then selected a sharpshooter, 6'5", 205-pound shooting guard, Quentin Grimes. Grimes played for, I think, two different colleges. I have to find the exact stuff on him. But basically, I believe he was at Kansas, and while he was there, wasn't getting enough playing time, or I guess wanted to be, I don't want to say like a shining star, but wanted to have maybe more play time. So he then transferred, I believe, to the Houston Cougars, which he played most of his years there. So 2018 to 2019 was at Kansas, Houston from 2019 to 2021. And I have the average points per game in his career, his college career. He had 12.5 points per game, 2.5 assists, and about, 4 rebounds per game. About 41% field goal percentage. And again, this is, people were saying he's identical of Emmanuel Quickley. He's a really good shooter. Got, you know, has to work on his defense a little bit. And then in the 2020-2021 season, obviously, which probably stood out a little bit more, he had about 18 points per game. So there's that. So then I'm like, okay, Knicks are going to have the 32nd pick, excuse me, which is right of the first round. Nope. As they trade that pick to the Oklahoma City Thunder for the 34th and 36th pick in this draft. I'm going to have a very hard time pronouncing this person's name. So I'm going to, I'll try it. The Knicks selected at 34, Rokas Jakubaitis. Alex, you have a better pronunciation of that? Because I really...
No, never ask me for pronunciation. I'll let you continue.
Okay, sounds good then. So he was a number 34 pick. He's a 6'4", 194-pound Lithuanian point guard. He played for FC Barcelona in the Spanish Liga, ACB. And I believe he also plays... he was playing in the Olympics, I think. And I was seeing that he wasn't doing that well. He kind of went up for these three-point shots that just did not go in or did not look good. So I'm interested about that pick. Another player the Knicks really look towards in, you know, not college, you know, in the United States, which is completely fine. Obviously, Kristaps Porzingis worked out for them, but, you know, it didn't work out once they traded him. I would say the player that I'm actually most looking forward to is this player. I've heard a lot about him, Miles McBride, who they selected at 36, supposed to be a steal. He went to West Virginia University, and his stats are as follows. He's 6'2", 200 pounds. That's not a stat, but he's another guard. In his career, about, again, 12.5 points per game, about 3 assists, and then in 2020-2021, his field goal percentage was about 43%, excuse me. His field goal percentage from 3 was about 41%. And he averaged 16 points per game and about 5 assists per game. And then finally, the last play.
One thing I would like to say is Miles McBride is also popping off on TikTok. I'm not sure if you've seen this, Josh, extremely popular on TikTok. He's verified. I don't know how many followers he has. I'll check now, but I know he's very big on TikTok. And it was kind of cool to see that the Knicks got him. So hopefully that can give you guys some free publicity there.
Following him on TikTok, Alex?
No, I saw him. Well, he's verified on TikTok, so he's getting big up there. So good. Congrats to him for having a nice social media presence already.
Jericho Sims was the last pick in the next draft at number 58. He's forward, 6'10", 245 pounds. Will probably be the backup, I guess, to Julius Randle. Looks like he plays power forward at 6'10", I would assume so, if not small forward. Averaged about 9.9 points and 1 assist per game. Nothing too crazy, 70% field goal percentage. And then the Knicks, after the draft, the following day, signed an undrafted Clemson forward, Amir Sims. Which was a big one. I saw a lot of memes that the Knicks have Sims and Sims, Sims with one S, Sims with one M, and Sims with two M's. Jericho Sims is one M, Amir Sims is two M's. So people are saying, Knicks got double Sims, they're locked in. So, you know, there was that. And basically, Amir Sims, 13 points per game and about 3 assists per game in 24 games. So there you go. That is the Knicks recap for the draft. All in a nutshell. Alex, go ahead.
All right, moving on to this Nets draft here. We're going to talk first about the trade. So before the draft even started, we heard news that Landry Shamet was traded for Javon Carter and the 29th pick in the draft. Javon Carter spent the past couple years at Phoenix, averaged around 5 points per game. You know, not the best player. Definitely not at the level of Landry Shamet, but was not bad, and I think he could be a decent role player for the Nets, and he didn't get much time in Phoenix, so maybe he'll shine in Brooklyn. Point guard, 6'1", 200 pounds. And then we obviously got the 29th pick as well, so I think that deal worked out nicely. And with the 27th pick, our pick originally, we got Cameron Thomas out of LSU. And he was considered by many as a nice steal there at that position. Guard, 6'4", 210 pounds, out of LSU, like I mentioned before. Only played 1 year in college. He averaged 23 points a game, a little over 3 rebounds, and a little over 1 assist per game. And what we've heard all about him is he's a scorer and he's a huge offensive weapon. What he brings on the defensive side, that's still a big question mark, and that's something obviously the Nets could need. But it looks like the Nets just decided to keep going all-out offense, and he's a really good backup for Kyrie and James Harden. I think he's a similar type of player, not saying he's similar in, you know, in how good he is, but in the type of player and what he would bring to the team. And at pick 29, obviously the pick we got from the Suns, we selected De'Ron Sharp. He's a forward out of UNC. He, again, only played 1 year in college, averaged 10 points per game, a little less than 8 rebounds, and a little over 1 assist per game. And he was over 50% from the field. And a lot of people liked him as well, coming out of North Carolina. And he's a very good rebounder and will help on both the offensive and defensive sides in the paint. So I think that'll be a good selection for them for the Nets. And he can guard anywhere from 3 to 5 on the floor. And going to the second round now, with the 44th pick, the Nets selected Kessler Edwards out of Pepperdine. In 2021, he averaged 17.2 points per game, 7 rebounds, and over a little over 1 assist there. Played 3 years at Pepperdine, and overall was very good there. Didn't do great his freshman year, but his sophomore and junior years, he was very effective for them. 6'8". 200 pounds forward out of Pepperdine, like I mentioned before. And then 49th pick, this is going to be a scary one right here for pronunciation-wise, Marcus Zagorowski out of Creighton. I'm going to, you know, hopefully that's how you say it. 6'2", 180 pounds, point guard out of Creighton, like I said before. In 2021, averaged 16 points a game, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. And was a little over 46% from the field, and is a very good three-point shooter, averaging 42% over his college career. And finally, the last Nets pick was Raekwon Gray out of Florida State, and he's a forward, 6'8", 260 pounds from Florida State. Averaged a bit over 12 points per game, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and was a little bit over 50% from the field. Played 3 years at Florida, was overall averaged. It seems he wasn't great in his freshman year. Sophomore year, he struggled as well, but this pass in his junior year, he's really looked good, averaging almost 12 points per game. And that's pretty much it for the Nets draft. It was good that we were able to bring in 5 new rookies. Hopefully they bring some energy to a general older team. And hopefully one of them, and I think Cameron Thomas especially, is going to be a real bright spot for this Nets team.
Some good Knicks picks, some good Nets picks, and I think what we do now is we move on to the free agent signings, because once again, both teams busy with that. Basically just re-signings for the Knicks. So I'll go into the one signing that was not a re-signing. That was the deal for a point guard that the Knicks, I guess, have been looking for the past decade, to really find that true point guard. Are we going to trade for a point guard? We do not, as Evan Fournier is coming to the New York Knicks. He was on the Boston Celtics. I know he was like the best player on the Orlando Magic for many years. He's been in the league since 2012. So from 2012 all the way up to the end of the 2020 season, he was a very good player with the Orlando Magic, and he's coming to the Knicks on a 4-year, $78 million deal. That's how much it could be up to. Although I think that, I don't know for sure, but I believe this deal, for some reason, has an opt-out or a team option after 3 years if they wanted to trade him. I'm like 95% sure that's the case. Maybe I should be less because I don't know for sure. But I think so. In his career, Fournier has averaged about 14 points per game and 3 assists per game. And then in this past season with the Boston Celtics, he's averaged 17.1 points per game and about 4 or 3 rebounds once again per game. And I mean, nothing like really stands out to me. I feel like we still need to look for another point guard to be our guy. But I don't know. Split time this year between Orlando and Boston, and this probably was one of his best years, if not his best year in the NBA, if that tells you anything. So there you go, that's the big signing for the New York Knicks. Obviously a lot of money in that deal.
And then you have Derrick Rose returning to the New York Knicks on a 3-year deal. Now, Alex texted me about this. I understand the age is a factor in this deal, but at the old age, I guess you could say, as an NBA player of 32 years old, Derrick Rose is still kicking it, and he's doing it pretty well, as he had a pretty good season, was the Knicks starter, as Elfrid Payton was not good enough, and as I say Emmanuel quickly, we wanted off the bench, was our starter throughout the playoffs, and did pretty well, or at least tried his best for the Knicks. He signed a 3-year, $43 million deal, brought back the former MVP. Both teams have mutual interests, and it looks good here that it seems either Tom Thibodeau, maybe it's the new staff, maybe it's just the Knicks were good this past year, that players wanted to actually return to this team and had mutual interest in each other. Rose, in his career, 18.5 points per game, 5.5 assists per game. This past season, 14.7 points per game and 4.2 assists per game. The next signing, another re-signing, is Alec Burks with a hefty price tag of $30 million. Yes, I say $30 million because it's Alec Burks, and I don't know, he could be a bench piece on some teams. But he once again returns to the Knicks, the guard that really played, you know, point guard, or could have played point guard, ran the point basically for most of his time on the court. 3-year, $30 million deal, like I said. I'm trying to pull up his stats as I speak currently. But as I pull them up, let's move on to another re-sign. And that was Nerlens Noel re-signs on a multi-year deal. Didn't really take that long for Burks and Nerlens Noel to re-sign with the New York Knicks. And this price tag is 3 years, $32 million, which once again seems like a lot of money. Yes, I'll repeat it, and maybe I'm just negative, and that's why. But for these players, I feel like it's a hefty price tag, and I'm sure Alex, when he talks, he'll agree with me about that as well. So Burks, I now have his stats in his career, 10.5 points per game, about 2 assists per game. And then for this past season, 12.7 points per game and 2.2 assists per game. And then we have one player that did not return. I guess they didn't share mutual interest, and that was Reggie Bullock, has signed with the Dallas Mavericks. Probably will come off the bench, I assume, but I could also be wrong. We'll have to see. But yeah, a lot of Knicks players now, not a lot, but a few Knicks players have spent their time in Dallas. The more that I can think about is Tim Hardaway, Kristaps Porzingis, and then there was one other player too that I had on my mind. But now another former Knick, Alec Burks, going to the Mavericks. Nerlens Noel, he averaged 5.1 points per game and about just an assist per game this past season. And finally, Taj Gibson, I'm not happy about it. It's only a 1-year, $2.7 million deal, but maybe it's just his relationship with Tom Thibodeau and how Tom Thibodeau loves a defensive-minded team. Gibson's 36 years old, but again, he's still going to wear blue, orange and blue for the third season. And he'll likely play a role as like the third string center, but is a vital role if Mitchell Robinson gets injured as he returns to the Knicks. Yeah, so 1 year, $2.7 million. Alex, you can go ahead and talk about your Nets signings.
So for the Nets here, first things first, I'll talk about the re-signings. Blake Griffin re-signed to a 1-year deal at the vet minimum. And also Bruce Brown re-signed on a $4.7 million qualifying offer. And a couple players that ended up departing or will depart. Jeff Green joins Denver on a 2-year, $10 million deal. Very disappointing that we lost him in free agency. Would have very much liked it if we could have brought him back. But we did make a couple signings here. James Johnson, we signed him to a 1-year deal, vet minimum again. Last year was in New Orleans. Has been in the NBA for over 10 years now, 34 years old, 6'7", 240 pounds, power forward. Averaged about 7 points a game last season, a little more than 3 rebounds. Not sure how this is going to work. I mean, we'll see how he plays. He's kind of the Jeff Green replacement. Do I think he's going to live up to what Jeff Green really did? He's not as good from 3. Overall, he's just not as good defensively. I think Jeff Green would have been much better to keep around. But then again, James Johnson on the vet minimum, whereas Jeff Green's getting $5 million a year. And then we also brought in Patty Mills for a two-year $12 million deal, $6 million a year. And that's a good signing for me. I really like it. Bringing in a backup point guard, always important. Averaged 11 points per game, 2 assists per game last season. Very good from three-point range. Which could be very important if Joe Harris is on his way out, like some are rumoring him to be, even though I personally do not think he will. But I really like that signing as well. But the big news really for the Nets here is that Spencer Dinwiddie is nearing his Wizards move. But the good news for Nets fans is it looks like it will have to be a sign-and-trade situation. The Wizards don't have the cap space outright to sign him in free agency. So the Nets have all the leverage, and they can hopefully get very good value in this sign-and-trade and get some good assets back for Spencer Dinwiddie, as the Wizards will have to negotiate in a sign-and-trade and cannot sign him outright in free agency. So this is going to be interesting to see how it goes, and it's good news for the Nets and Nets fans, as we'll definitely get some good assets for Spencer Dinwiddie, especially considering what you've seen for players like DeMar DeRozan, players like Kyle Lowry, and all those guys who were signed and traded, and they've been getting good value for those players. So I think we're going to get decent value here for Spencer Dinwiddie, and the Wizards very much want him.
Spurs threw out a lot for DeMar DeRozan. I got to pull up the deal again, but I would say that they did pretty well in that trade. I have to find it, but until then, let's run through this NBA Summer League as both teams, Knicks and Nets, released their Summer League rosters. Some obviously, this is mainly for this is mainly for the players that are new to the league, either rookies or second years or G League players, and I'll go through them now. So Quentin Grimes, Tyler Hall, once again, Rokas, I believe, Jakubaitis, I'm so sorry, Kevin Knox, Miles McBride, Justin Patton, Emmanuel Quickley, Quentin Rose, Wayne Selden, Amir Sims, Jericho Sims, Obi Toppin, Reed Travis, Luka Vildoza, and MJ Walker are the Knicks Summer League players. And then I just found... Okay, so the San Antonio Spurs are finalizing sending DeMar DeRozan to the Chicago Bulls for Thad Young, a future first-round pick and 2 second-round picks. I feel like that's a lot for DeMar DeRozan, no? I mean, it may just be me. Alex, you can respond to that and then just run through your Brooklyn Nets Summer League so we can throw it to the interview.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely agree. I think if you're looking, Spencer Dinwiddie is a far more enticing acquisition, I think, for a lot of teams. And kind of Chicago's interesting, right? Because they brought in a lot of pieces now. Because they obviously brought in Lonzo Ball. They have, so it would be Lonzo Ball, Zach LaVine, and then DeMar DeRozan. They have Patrick Williams, who they drafted high last year. And then they have Nikola Vucevic also. So that's a very strong starting five. It's not exactly a big four, but it's a borderline all-star four, if that makes any sense. So it's definitely an interesting team to keep out on, keep an eye on next season. But for the Nets Summer League, guards Jordan Bowden, guard David Duke, forward Kessler Edwards, Kaiser Gates, Raekwon Gray, Elise Johnson, Brandon Knight, Reggie Perry, Brandon Raschel, De'Ron Sharp, Chris Silva, Cam Thomas, Quindary with Weatherspoon, Marcus Zegrowski, whole bunch of hard names to pronounce, but that is your 2021 Summer League roster for the Brooklyn Nets.
All right, so I think it's time, Alex. We'll send it to the interview with producer BBD of John Boy Media, and we'll send it to there now. I don't know why I had to repeat that a few times. Here you go. All right, so like I mentioned in the intro, we do have a special guest on, our first guest on the City That Never Sleeps podcast. It is John Boy Media producer BBD, Big Baby David. What do you prefer? I don't know like which one you want to be called on the podcast, because like both of them are, you know, kind of interesting nicknames.
Yeah, nothing really matters. It's I've gotten used to both being sort of my professional name. Can use Dave or David if you want, Big Baby David, BBD, nothing. There's one thing I've learned, it's that nothing matters. So,
okay.
Here we are.
All right, so I'll go with BBD. I don't know if Alex has a different preference, but BBD, we're really excited to have you on and for you to be our first guest joining us. And for I'm you honored. To come on, actually, you know, we were supposed to record this yesterday, and I know you were stuck in a traffic jam, but it might have been a miracle that saved us, that traffic jam, because we are lucky enough to record this after Kemba Walker is now a New York Knick.
Yes. I think just about anything we would have said yesterday would have been a best case scenario, a moot point, but maybe just wrong now.
It's yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I don't know. It might have been a miracle in disguise. I mean, I know Alex is a Nets fan, so we were texting back and forth before this recording. I didn't want to get like our full thoughts out, but I could tell just from like that, you know, obviously in text, you can't really tell tones and like moods and stuff like that. That's why I feel like talking is better, but I can just tell from the mood that he's somewhat annoyed. I know he's got the, as I mentioned, the three superstars working at the Nets, but I could tell the Kemba Walker signing annoyed you a little bit, Alex.
I would disagree, but yeah, I'm not annoyed.
That's it?
I mean, I don't know what else to say with that. I don't know. I'm not giving in to your pressure here of trying to get me to be jealous. So I'm gonna sit here very quietly while we...
You guys got your own stuff going on.
Yeah, I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge might be coming back now, it sounds like. So, hey, we got him.
I mean, what, 35? If I'm not wrong. I could be off. I would have to double check on that. But
he's probably 36, 35, something like that. Yeah. But hey, two former All-Stars, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can talk about that. He is 36, Alex. There you go. You got it. LaMarcus Aldridge, 36, pulling up with the Brooklyn Nets, make your return. But BBD, so talking about this a little bit more, Kemba Walker, you know, with the Oklahoma City Thunder, and everyone was expecting that going into this season, but decides instead to basically transfer himself over to the Knicks. You think this was something that the Knicks kind of worked out, or you think Walker had interest in them originally, and then I guess Leon Rose and the whole squad of Knicks staff kind of got this one done?
Yeah, it's hard. I'm curious how long this has been in the works. It seems like it's sort of beneficial to all three sides. I'm sure Kemba doesn't have much interest in playing in OKC, just period, but also, you know, they're not contending for a championship at the point in his career he's at. Not that the Knicks are, but they're going to be in the postseason picture. And in theory, are building towards something where OKC is certainly a few years behind. And him and Shea is kind of a weird mix there. So there wasn't much reason for him to want to be in OKC other than in the last couple of years they have turned around a couple guards with you know, Chris Paul and all that. But so I'm curious who initiated what, because other than that, it's fairly beneficial to all three sides. The Knicks obviously get their best point guard that I can remember, assuming he's healthy. Kemba Walker gets to play in New York City, where he's from, and where it seemed like 2 years ago he at least had some level of interest in coming to New York. You know, there's rumors that he and somebody else were gonna come, but things fall apart. Blah blah blah. At the time, it was one of the darkest moments of being a Knicks fan. Turned out good because you got Julius Randle, who is a good player now. And the Knicks, yeah, the Knicks get their best player for kind of free. They didn't have to give up any assets to get him. It's just money, and it's less money than what his contract is. Fits nicely into their salary cap spot. I don't know, just kind of like for all three teams, sort of mutual benefits. So OKC gets off of the contract a little bit, not completely, but a little bit. Kemba doesn't lose any money, because I'm guessing whatever OKC bought out is the amount the Knicks are giving him, ish. So, I don't know. Everyone wins.
I saw that the Knicks are going to do a 2-year deal as well. So it's going to be the same boat when it comes to yearly wise, time wise of his contract, but it is going to be less money. I think you're right about that. I was seeing $8 million a year, but I feel like that's got to be not enough.
I don't know. I don't know exactly how the contracts work. I know they have between $8 and $10 million in cap space, roughly.
There you go.
If they like move off Kevin Knox or waive Vildoza, I imagine they're going to bring him into camp at least. But he would fit into whatever that range is, and he's still getting however much of his contract OKC's giving him. So, as a net. He ultimately gets the same amount ish, I would assume. I think we won't know for another few days how much We don't know details for another few days. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the 6th is when contracts can become official.
I believe so. I said to Alex too, again, like pre-recording, that this really does make the Evan Fournier deal so much better, because
it makes it make a lot more sense as the big free agent signing.
Yes, exactly. I mean, everyone was saying there's got to be like another thing coming here. And the thing is, though, I didn't, because it's the Knicks. So I was like, yep, it's another, you know, guy that is almost there but not there type deal, where I'm not going to
slight overpay for a guy, and what is he going to get you? And like, I was okay with where the offseason was. There wasn't a free agent I really wanted. I would have loved Lonzo Ball, but that didn't seem like it was ever really on the table. So like, I was kind of cool with what they did, bringing everyone back. And Fournier is an upgrade over Bullock in the starting lineup overall. He's better, more consistent shooter. The defense is a little bit of a step back, but overall I was like, all right, I can live with this. And everyone's on movable contracts. If they need to make the big trade in the next year and a half or so, these guys would fit nicely as matching salaries. But then they pull the Kemba Walker thing, and it's like, all right, it all makes sense. And Rose isn't going to be the starter, so that's cool. And quickly he'll be in a backup role, and not necessarily having to play point guard in a backup role, so that's cool. And so now everything, I'm feeling good. As good as you can. I mean, things fall apart, and Kemba hasn't stayed healthy the last 2 years, so that's huge.
From an outside perspective, not, you know, you Knicks fanboys who, you know, get too excited about this, I would say, I think the Kemba Walker signing, as much as Josh, you know, made fun of me earlier, I would say I think it's a good get for the Knicks, because I think you bring him in, you now have a, you know, a starting caliber point guard, which the Knicks haven't had, you know, in many, many years, like you just mentioned before. There is some injury concerns. I'm not sure if he can stay healthy for the full season. Is he Damian Lillard, who, you know, lots of Knicks fans wanted? I don't think so. Do I think he can make an impact on the team and definitely improve that point guard spot? For sure. And he could definitely, in the playmaking aspect especially, help some of those younger guys like RJ Barrett, like Obi Toppin, like Emmanuel Quickley, really step up, because that's really the most important thing for the Knicks. Kemba Walker is not a long-term solution. He's a nice piece to have right now.
Yeah. As a stopgap guy, you know, presumably you want to get to your franchise guy by the end of his presumably a 2-year deal. You can't do a whole lot better than Kemba. And, you know, if they swung the Damian Lillard trade, that would have been cool, but that still can happen at some point. And Kemba, there's really no risk here. You didn't give up assets to get him. It's just salary. And, you know, they haven't done the big trade, so they still have all their picks moving forward, and Obi's still here, and RJ's still here, who you probably would have had to trade to get Dame. And so you've got all the pieces. You're quickly still here. All your young guys in the mix. You have the ability to go make another move at some point in the season. As we mentioned, the guys are bringing back our salaries that can match in there as well. So it's really like a no risk, high reward situation. I think most Knicks fans were overall content with the offseason or the free agency period. And if Kemba can't stay healthy, then we're still there. You know, it's still okay. Well, same team's back with Fournier, probably a better mix in the starting lineup than Bullock, and hopefully you're banking on RJ getting better and Randall still being what he was last year and Mitch taking another step and Obi taking another step and all that. But you're relying on that anyway, because that's how you get better. They were a young team that came about a year or two early, I think. And I don't know. It's like no risk. It's like, cool. If Kemba can give you what you want and stay healthy enough, cool.
One thing I would say is, I know after the playoffs, the Knicks fans wanted a player that can take pressure off of Julius Randle, because we really saw in the playoffs, it was all down to Julius Randle, and he had kind of no helping cast there. And, you know, when he was getting double teamed, there was kind of no one there. I'm not sure if Kemba Walker is that type of player that can relieve the pressure off of Julius Randle. I don't think, just in my mind, I don't think he's that type of player. He's also struggled in the playoffs recently with Boston, having some, you know, poor performances in the playoffs. So I'm not sure if he's exactly like the most clutch player when, you know, you get to that time that you need your big players to, you know, put down shots. I'm not sure if Kemba Walker is that type of player.
His size is always a question come the playoffs, which is, you know, a concern, especially at his age now and the health. But scoring first point guard is one something Tibbs likes, and it does mean Randall doesn't have to day in, day out be the primary scorer. Kemba can do that any given day, at least in the regular season.
Yeah, and I like Fournier too. It's just I feel like, I mean, $78 million over 4 years or whatever it is, it's a little bit too much money.
It's a scary number to just throw, when you just throw it out there. But you know, you look at a lot of the contracts for starting level role players around the league. I mean, Duncan Robinson just got 5 for $90, who's in a similar role. I prefer him to Fournier, but they do slightly different stuff. I had other examples of guys that got paid like that. But there's just a bunch of contracts like that's kind of the going rate for a Fournier level player. So I like wouldn't even call it an overpay at this point. He's getting market value, but the price is a scary point.
And I think kind of another thing, just like the Fournier deal, looks really good now. We saw the Knicks going and re-signing players that, again, like this was another thing. Oh, wow, we have players that had mutual interest in re-signing with the Knicks. You know, don't see this recently. But, yeah, so Taj Gibson, Nerlens Noel, Derrick Rose, and I think that and Alec Burks. I think that even the letting go of, not saying Reggie Bullock is a sensational player, but the letting go of Reggie Bullock and letting him go to the Mavericks, don't know if he, you know, had any opinions on that, if he wanted to stay or not. But that even looks, that makes sense now, because, you know, maybe Fournier will most likely play the shooting guard position while Kemba rocks at the point guard. So I don't even think there's a reason to have Reggie Bullock on your roster when Quickly and Rose can be those two guys off the bench to fill the point guard and shooting guard role, where Bullock, I guess, would kind of have to try and find a way to fill in there.
Yeah, and that's the part that makes me most curious about how the Kemba acquisition came together, because, like, I think if they really knew this was coming, you know, Bullock and Burks signed essentially the same contract. So I would imagine you'd prefer Bullock's fit with this roster, that second unit, to Burks, but it's not like that big a difference. So I don't know. And Bullock, I liked. You needed to not have him be the starter this year, but I would have liked to have him back. He was fairly popular while he was here, and he and Randall had a pretty good connection. So that is kind of the most curious part, because it seemed like Bullock liked being here. He was here the last 2 years. So he is the biggest flag, but you kept everybody else between Rose and Nerlens and all the other guys that were part of building this like new culture, which was an overused term, but it's finally kind of appropriate for the Knicks. They changed everything.
I was also surprised about that they decided to keep Burks instead of Bullock. I'm not sure, you know, you never know, right? Bullock might not have wanted to stay. Who knows?
If he was guaranteed a bigger role in Dallas, which would be hard to believe, but he could have been.
I mean, playing alongside Luka's probably, you know.
Yeah, there's a higher ceiling there, I suppose.
Yeah. So, I mean, it could be something like that. But yeah, I agree with you. I feel like Bullock would have been a better keep, and letting Burks go probably would have been better. But Burks was good down the stretch for the Knicks too last season. So
yeah, in the playoffs, he was mostly good, and there were probably double digit games last year that Bullock or that Burks like took over a game, including game one of the playoffs. He was the Knicks' best player, which was nuts. So like, hey, it's a valuable piece to have off your bench. There are days where he looks like he doesn't know what he's doing at all, so he can be a frustrating watch from time to time. But overall, what Burks gives you day in, day out is pretty good. So hey, I'm down to bring him back.
I was gonna say, didn't he run point down the stretch too, especially in fourth quarters when they really needed to make a comeback? Because that's like a big thing. Like, you know,
it felt like several fourth quarters during the year, like Burks was kind of who we were playing through, which was nuts. And the whole roster on the running point, it's kind of a whole roster of guys that, you know, any given possession, you're comfortable with them being the primary facilitator between
right.
Randall, RJ, not Bullock anymore, but Burks and Quickly. So a lot of guys that like you probably wouldn't want to pencil in as your point guard or even your second string point guard. But before the Kemba move, I was like opening myself up to like, okay, and we can run it back. That's essentially what we did last year because Elfrid Payton was largely unplayable. So I'd be comfortable going for that again. You make a trade at some point, but now we don't even have to worry about that because if Kemba's around, here we are.
You got any thoughts, positives or negatives on the re-signings? I kind of like touch on it a little bit, but I don't know if you had any. Because for me, it's the Taj Gibson deal that I don't like, where it was more Knicks fans didn't like the Alec Burks. I would say the payment more of Alec Burks and Nerlens Noel. They thought the deals were a little too much. I thought the Noel deal was a little too much, but I think Taj Gibson is just a player that Thibodeau just likes to have. I just don't like it because of the age factor and maybe I'm a little, I guess, selfish because I want some offense. Like it's just and Gibson just like doesn't bring the offense and sometimes doesn't even do what he's meant to do and bring the defense. So I don't know, that one was like a little salty for me.
I like Taj and it's a veterans minimum deal. So from a cap perspective, no complaints. And I like him. I think he does a lot for the locker room. Hopefully he doesn't have to play as big a role as he did at times last year, but with that said, I mean, there's a good chance at some point he will. Mitch and Nerlens both have their own injury histories, and were out for stretches last year. Nerlens was very banged up in the playoffs, but
when it came out that none of the guys they signed the final year of their deal is guaranteed, Fournier after year three is a team option,
Burks and Nerlens both are team options after year two. So it kind of changed everything. That's like, okay, I can live with that for a 2-year deal. Very easy to move if they need to. Like I've said a few times. But overall, my initial reaction was that like giving Nerlens and Burks both 3-year deals was a bit surprising. But again, once it came out that they're really 2-year deals with a team option, it was like, okay, fair enough. So I'm kind of cool with all of it.
I thought Alex was going to go. I'll just take over once again. I thought he was going to mention that. So I guess I'll propose the question. I'm not even a Nets fan, Alex. This is where you're supposed to chime in here. It's a 2-team podcast. So
I didn't want to overstep. You guys seem to enjoy your Knicks talk. I didn't want to ruin that moment.
I know. I wanted to involve you because you were just sitting there, and obviously you really were just sitting there, not even paying attention, it seems. So I'll throw it to Alex. Can I throw it to you to mention the Nets free agent moves?
I mean, yeah. I mean, obviously we brought in Patty Mills, which I think is a good deal too. You know, $6 million a year, not very much, and I think he could be a good backup. Obviously, Kyrie is always having injury issues, so a backup for him can always be needed. Upset that Jeff Green is gone. I thought that Denver got themselves a nice deal with that for $5 million a year for a 2-year deal there. I thought we should have brought him back because he was really key for the Nets last season. Besides that, you know, obviously we traded on draft night. Shamit's now gone. We brought in some very nice rookies who I think will, you know, help with the depth of this team. Kevin Durant actually had some interesting comments as well, talking about how he was excited to play with rookies again, because obviously last year we didn't really have any rookies in the team, or at least that got substantial minutes. So he was excited because there's going to be 5 rookies now with the Nets here. But I'm just reading on Twitter, actually. The reason I was distracted, Josh, is they just announced the sign-in trade for Spencer Dinwiddie. And it looks like we don't know all the details yet, but so far we've gotten a 2024 second and a 2025 pick swap. But apparently we are getting something from Indiana and people are rumoring it to be Miles Turner, but I don't think it will be. But I am happy that we were able to get, not happy that we got rid of Dinwiddie, but it is good because now with the trade, And with the cap exceptions that we got from it, we'll have $12 million in cap space to hopefully sign a big man, which we do need desperately. So hopefully that should be good. If we get something else a part of the deal, I'd be very happy. But it doesn't look like it. I'd assume we just maybe get another pick or two. But I think it's good to move Dinwiddie out. We brought in Patty Mills anyway. Get a big man, because that's really what we need, especially in this Eastern Conference with Joel Embiid, Giannis. There's a lot of people, and we need someone who can guard them. And let's just say DeAndre Jordan and Nick Claxton are probably not the best solutions. Or Blake Griffin.
I think Miles Turner is a good player. That's a good player to bring. I don't know. It's crazy. That's a five team trade, according to Woj.
All the details have not come out yet, so we don't actually know what's happening. All we know is the Nets got two picks so far.
Yeah, 2024 second round pick and a 2025 pick swap from the Wizards.
I would imagine there would have to be more, because we're looking at sign-in trades, right? Sign-in trades like Kyle Lowry, like DeMar DeRozan. We've been seeing those guys get some more than that, right? We've been seeing, you know, I forget, with the DeMar DeRozan, they got a first and I want to say it was Thaddeus Young, right, in that trade. So I feel like there has to be something more to this deal, because Spencer Dinwiddie, maybe he's not the level of DeMar DeRozan, but he's still a key piece, and he's definitely younger. So I'd be surprised if it's just that. I would hope that there was more. Otherwise, I feel like we kind of got fleeced.
You, BBD, I wanna throw it to the draft with the Knicks picks, because I value my sleep, and I'm not gonna say like it's a big deal to me, but I would like my sleep, and the Knicks didn't really help me out with that, as they continuously traded back in the first and in the second round. My plan was to not stay up for that 58th pick, because, you know, usually those players are in the G League for most of their time.
Yeah, they might not even sign.
Right. Exactly. They would go unsigned. But for them to go from the 19 and 21 to the 25 to then not go at 30, go 32 and 34, I don't know if you want to go pick by pick, just your thoughts overall. I mean, that's completely up to you.
Yeah, I admittedly don't know a whole lot about the guys they picked. I wasn't fully locked into the draft stuff this year with everything just happening during baseball and the calendar's off, which is a miss by me. But I think if the Knicks ended up taking Grimes and Deuce McBride at 19 and 21, based on what I saw on Twitter, people would have been cool with that. So to get them at 25 and 36 respectively, it's just good value there. And there's cap reasons to move back. And I don't, the Knicks and Tibbs, like Tibbs' policy, he like doesn't play a rookie substantial minutes until they like earn it. So I didn't think there was going to be a way they were going to bring in like three rookies expected to play when they came into the draft with 19, 21 and 32. So it made sense to kind of punt 19. The weird part is the protections on the trade, on the pick they got back. Because obviously they traded the 19th pick, and I think the Hornets are like, the pick they got back from the Hornets is top 18 protected. So it's like, it's impossible to beat the value. So that's just like kind of a weird thing, but I'm like, I'll live. And I think at some point the Hornets would probably drop the protections, and then that pick and your other picks are movable. So I was really lukewarm about the whole thing, and I knew that those were two players that at least people on Twitter would have been cool with picking if they just kept their picks. So I'm like really fine with everything, which isn't an exciting answer, but it's kind of where my head's at.
No, I mean, I agree with you. I've been seeing that Grimes is another, you know, people have saying the quickly replacement, or like kind of just not replacement, but like just another.
He's form. In that like mold.
Sharpshooter, you know, can shoot from anywhere type deal. I think in the finish
from anywhere gives you effort.
I think he's a floater guy too.
Like a good guy. I like that.
Yeah, I think because I know quickly.
I liked watching it when it worked. But.
Yeah, I know quickly is a go-to floater guy, so I think Grimes is as well. But I like the height. I mean, he's a taller guard. If he was to run the point, I would say 6'5" is a taller, maybe average, I guess. Because I keep on forgetting that normal height. I forget that normal height and NBA height is very different things. So when I see 6'5", I'm like, oh yeah, that's a pretty tall point guard. But then it's also like, yeah, there are.
All right, he's going to be like an average height for a two.
Yeah, yeah, that, yeah. I don't know. I mean, to kind of relate to you, I don't know about this. I'm just going to say his first name. I don't even know if I'm saying it right. The Rokas guy from Lithuania. I never heard of him until the draft. So I'm going to be honest with that. But
you can't have an opinion on that. It seems like he'll be stashed in Europe for a little while. Maybe he comes over at some point and is pretty good. I think somebody said he dropped 30 on Luka a year or two ago. So
yeah,
whatever. Cool.
I feel like he was in the Olympics too, or he's right now.
Probably. I don't know I forget what country he's from. Is he Lithuania?
Lithuania.
So that would add up.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, Grimes, I don't know. The overuse on the guards, maybe, because that's three guards in a row that they picked with 25, 32, and 34. So, I don't know. That was my only concern there when it came to that. But besides that, it's fine. And then the Jericho Sims at 58, again, I don't think he's going to play.
Yeah, probably spend the year in the G League and hope for the best. Maybe you found something, maybe you didn't. Seems nice.
A backup to Randall, if anything. I feel like he's a ceiling right now.
Yeah, which, hey, at 58, that is fine.
Yeah, I mean, look at what Mitchell Robinson is doing when he's not injured. When he's not injured, I got to make that clear.
When he's played. Yeah, the Knicks, the one thing you kind of have never been able to really – really crap on the Knicks for is they've been able to identify talent that other teams haven't necessarily. Not that they've capitalized on it well or kept them happy, but they've made some nice second round picks in a few years and some nice undrafted signings. Like Langston Galloway's now had an NBA career, most of it not with the Knicks. Tim Hardaway Jr., they got 24th overall whenever he was drafted, and he's had a long NBA career. Mitchell Robinson in the second round. So they've been able to identify talented dudes. Ron Baker existed in the NBA, and they found him out of nowhere. So there's just a few of those guys. I don't know.
I want you to – the final thing here, I want you to name your – if you were going to name your five top – five starters, first game of the season, name your five starters. No one's injured, and then five coming off the bench.
So the starting
five,
like rotation, it'd be Kemba at the one, Fournier at the two, RJ at the three. They're kind of the same. Randall and Mitch rounds out your starting five. So then Noel's slotting behind, behind Mitch, Obi, who fortunately stepped up in the playoffs and I like believe in again. He's your backup four. The backup point guards, D Rose and IQ and Burks, I guess, are the backups at the wings there. It's kind of a clean exercise right now.
Yeah.
And hopefully one of the rookies forces the issue at some point, or be cool if Knox took a step. I think he needs a change of scenery, but like seems like a nice guy.
I'm surprised they didn't get rid of him for anything. I guess really no.
I mean, they still could. I mean, I think they could probably dump his salary somewhere, but I don't know. That I think we'll know if they did that in the next couple days. If Kemba turns out we're giving him like 12 mil, then okay, we're probably clearing Knox's salary then. But it sounds like 8 mil is the number on him. So I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to wait.
Those would be like the 10 guys you're playing.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good squad. I'm not complaining right now. It looks good.
It's a playoff team. Yeah. It's a playoff team.
And it's a team that can run deep in the playoffs. They need a little bit of luck here and there. I mean, it's a stacked Eastern Conference, Alex was saying.
Nobody's calling them an Eastern Conference favorite, but it's a team that if that's the group they have and they play, let's assume it's a similar vibe to last year. And bringing in Kemba Walker, who can score, and hopefully RJ takes his step and Mitch takes his step forward. That's a team that can win a playoff series. They maybe could have this year. I guess not, because the Hawks were really good. But this is now a team that you know, they took a step forward. They could win a playoff series. We'll see if they do it. But I'm like, I'm now like very excited about the season. I was excited anyway because the Knicks are like good again. They're not an embarrassment, which I haven't been able to say most of my life. So.
Yeah, no, it's good. I mean, same here. I know you're older than me, so I guess that shows how really bad they have been. But
yeah,
I know I said final thing. I'm sorry, but there is something we do on the podcast where we have a trivia question from each of us. Alex asks me a Knicks question, and I ask him a Nets question. So are you good trying to answer one trivia question before we head out?
I'm down. Can't promise right. I'll get it. But that's the challenge.
That's what I say every time too. So,
all right. So Josh has some competition today. Usually he just does it on his own, and then there's no one to compare it to, so no one can say, "Oh, Josh, you did badly today." But today, Josh, you got some competition. So if you do badly, it's going to be embarrassing. Yes. Well, actually, it won't be. But all right. So my question today, we were discussing Alec Burks, Reggie Bullock. Obviously, Burks was re-signed. Bullock was let go. During the regular season last season, who had the higher three-point percentage? And with that guess, also add the number of percentage that you think it is.
I would guess Bullock was the higher percentage at like 35%. They both had hot and cold stretches, but...
I feel like he was a better shooter. So I agree with the so I guess it'll come down to the number. Well, actually it could very well be Burks, but I think it was Bullock as well. I'll go less though. I would say like 32%.
Okay. So you guys are both very wrong. So number one, it was Alec Burks. Was the Burks. Correct answer. He was
I guess he missed more time with injuries, I think. Yeah. So that would make sense. Less time to miss.
He was at 41.5%, Alec Burks was. So wow. Actually very high. And Reggie Bullock was very close, actually, at 41.0, so, or 41. So it's only 0.5 different right there. Wow. 0.5 difference.
I did not think his number on the year was above 40, either of them.
Wow.
In the postseason, you would have been closer. If you look at the postseason.
Maybe that's what I'm remembering.
In the postseason, you're looking at... Let's see. And postseason, Reggie Bullock was at 34 and Burks was at 33. So that, yeah, you're closer there.
Yeah, must be what I'm remembering.
Wow. So we're both. So I guess I wasn't too embarrassed, Alex. It's okay. I'll accept.
You guys were both equally far away.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. BBD, are you in studio because you guys are recording the series recap after this?
Series recap tonight after the game. We might be heading over there. I haven't heard final word on that, but series recap tonight.
There you go. All right, so look forward to it. By the time you're listening to this, it'll be out. So I guess either you've already listened to it or you listen to this podcast first. Once you're done with this podcast, head over to Talking Yanks and listen to the Orioles series recap.
Orioles recap.
There you go.
Hopefully win the series and don't make me mad.
Yeah, I hope so as well. I know they called up someone too. I didn't see the name.
Jonathan Davis came up, who they got off waivers from Toronto yesterday.
And he is
he's an outfielder.
Okay.
Kind of he's been a quad A guy for a little bit. So I don't know. Maybe they catch lightning in a bottle. I don't know what. Whatever. He's played a lot of MLB baseball, so.
Gil played great.
Why not?
Tonight.
If you got a DFA him, you got a DFA him.
There we go.
At some point.
All right. You can go follow BBD on Twitter at BigBabyDavid_. BBD, once again, we thank you so much for joining us. And we hope to talk soon on the podcast. Once again, after the Knicks get off to a 10-0 start to the season. How about that? Go undefeated.
Hell yeah. Tell me when and where.
And the Nets go 0-10 in that first 10 games as well. Mm-hmm. But
hate it.
We thank you so much for listening as well. Please subscribe to the Say It Never Sleeps podcast. 5 stars. We would really appreciate it. And that's about it. We'll see you next time, next week, for more news on the Knicks and Nets.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason, and this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.